Sermon tonight comes from Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104. This is the M selection from the Psalter. I'll read the verses from the New American Standard. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Pray with me. Father, help us now and give us good understanding in accordance with your word, that we will think and believe in accordance with reality, that you will be glorified in us as a city shining, set on a hill in a dark land. So bless us and help us as individuals to deal with the strongholds in our minds, that they would be cast down, that we would throw out every vain speculation and submit our minds to your truth. Father, for those of us who have lived a long time and may have things anchored in our minds that have been misplaced, have been misguided for many years, Lord, help and bless and move. For those of us who are younger but still think we've already acquired all wisdom and knowledge, God, help us too. Give us each humility. Give us each grace. And instruct us by your Spirit that you would be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What do you hate? What do you hate? For many of us, there is some thing in our lives that represents fear or dread. Some of us, we would respond very aggressively to a spider, or a mouse, or a snake. One of my great role models in my life is one of my great uncles, who is this picture of strength. I saw him grab a cow that was unruly and wrestle it to the ground one time to teach it a lesson. This is the kind of strength that I'm talking about. And yet, if you walk up and show him a rubber snake, he will give this high-pitched squeal and run in absolute dread. Some of us in our lives, if something were put before us that we hate, we might respond by stomping on it aggressively. I've seen people with small fires that begin to get out of control. It appears as if they hate the fire that's spreading, and they will beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it to stop it, because they know the threat that is at hand. Well, this passage here, verse 104 at the end, looks like a summary of this whole selection. From your precepts I get understanding. So he's recognizing the value of God's word. And he says, therefore, I hate every false way. Now, this idea of hatred is not a popular idea. We're taught that we're not to hate, or at best we're to love the sinner but hate the sin. Well, this idea of hating something is quite literally to be the enemy of it. And for us in our lives, first and foremost, to hate or be the enemy of a false way will be to hate all falsehood in us. Every false way in us. And again, this doesn't simply mean to dislike it, but to be the enemy of it. To be committed to seeing it destroyed. Now, this is the case with active sin in our lives. This is the case with anything that we are holding on to that we know is off, whether it is our emotions, be they affection or dislike or some form of anger or slander. So the call tonight is to love truth. To love truth and to be the enemy of or to hate every false way. Now this will have a lot of applications for us. As I said, first and foremost, we're told to deal with our own hearts. We see it in Scripture, in Matthew chapter 7, where people like to say, don't judge. But then it goes on to say, if someone has a speck in their eye, how can you deal with them if you have a plank in your eye? It says, go and deal with your plank and then come back. And the coming back would be a judging, wouldn't it? To even discern that someone had a speck in their eye, you would have to judge. You would have to discern that there was a problem that needed corrected. So we come to that point where it's necessary. But before any of that, we're pointed to ourselves. We are pointed to our own hearts. Now, what is the method that we would use to deal with the plank in our eye? We can look at a plank and say it hurts, so I need to get rid of it. I have found that it hurts more to pull a plank out of something. Pull a puncture wound out hurts more than it does to leave it there for a time. But the way in which that we deal with the sin in our lives is displayed very well in verse 97. How I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. This is our first move, to meditate on Scripture all day. The ways that we come to love something seems to be exposure to it. Exposure to this truth of Scripture, to meditate on the truth of Scripture, and to then to see and learn to see the true value of the Scripture, the beauty of it, the truth of it, the way that it flows. For the youth retreat, Leslie and I, we are counselors for it, and we have been directed to do the same memory work that the children are directed to do, or we are to memorize 1 Peter chapter 1, the whole chapter. And I'm working on doing a verse a day to get through it and to get it all accomplished. And I'm seeing the beauty of Scripture probably more than I have in years. As I'm thinking about it every day, and as I am thinking about it all day, this exposure to it is creating a love and an affection for it. Now we see in verse 98b, and 98b, the second half of verse 98, also the second half of verse 99, and the second half of verse 102. There's this idea of possessing the word, that it is mine. It is mine. There have been times in our lives where there's been something that we've wanted, something that we've desired, probably something that we've worked for and worked for and worked for. And then when we finally have it, we think, this is mine. I have worked for it. I have earned it. It is my possession. Here we see the psalmist having that attitude about the scripture. In verse 98, selection B, talking about God's commandments, and he says, for they are ever mine. Forever. This is mine. This is my truth. This is my statement. This is my reality. We see here the word becoming so precious, flowing from this recognition of what it is, what it accomplishes, and flowing from this continuous meditation and this continuous exposure to it. Oh, how I love your law. I wonder if you've ever seen somebody in love. And what do you see when you see someone in love? You see their mind going towards it. You see their eyes going towards it. You see their body going towards it. This continuous draw to this object of affection. There was a time where I had a friend and we were working on rappelling off of this bridge that was 90 feet high. And they hadn't rappelled off of anything high before. And bridges are particularly spooky sometimes when you don't look down and you don't even see a wall that you're going to be bounding off of. You just look down and see 90 feet of empty going down to railroad tracks. And this person stood up on the edge. And the trick to rappelling is you have a brake hand and you keep that hand behind you when you want to stop. And the threat is, you lose the idea of what really needs to happen, and people will let go of the brake hand in fear and reach up and grab the rope in front of them, which they're not strong enough to hold on to. Well, I've seen people in these situations, and I'll tell you, they look like they love the rope. They see the threat at hand. They know their need. And when you look down 90 feet and see nothing but this thin rope hanging there, there's nothing else for you to love. There is nothing else for you to cling to. If we would see our lives rightly, if we would see the world rightly, if we would recognize, according to this truth, the deception that is out there, we would say, how I love your law. And it will indeed be our meditation all the day. Our next step, and this is our second step, make scripture your sword. Verse 98, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. Oftentimes the scripture describes and it teaches us and explains to us that there is a war taking place and that you and I are in the middle of it. It seems as if one of Satan's great lies is, there's no war. There's no war. There's no fight. There's no battle. There's no threat. You're okay. And everyone around you is okay. And people are basically good. Well, we see from the beginning of Scripture that there is a battle. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we see that God has placed enmity between His children and the children of Satan. Those who trust in Christ are His children. Those who reject Christ are indeed the children of Satan. Scripture describes Satan as this roaring lion, wandering here and there, seeking whom he may devour. If we see this truth and we know this truth, doesn't it change the way that we walk? Doesn't it change our perception? Doesn't it change the way we look at the world? Doesn't it change the decisions that we make? It even change where we would go, the relationships that we will have, or the nature of the relationships that we will have. Making Scripture your sword is seeing that it is Scripture that makes you wiser than the enemies of God and wiser than your enemies. As we read in Ephesians 6:17 about taking up the full armor of God. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With this picture that we are indeed in conflict. And that it is the Word of God that it is our weapon. Now, 98 ends with that statement, "For they are ever mine, God's commands and testimonies." Now our third move is to embrace Scripture higher than human wisdom. For this, verses 99 and 100. "I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts." Now as we look at this, there is always the threat for some young whippersnapper to grab a hold of this and say, "I don't need to listen to my teachers. I don't need to listen to my instructors." Many of us probably claim these verses while we are in seminary. I happen to know this is one of my children's favorite passages in Scripture as well. "I have more insight than all my teachers." But the truth is that if we are embracing Scripture, if we are meditating on Scripture, we will have that deep wisdom. I look at this and I can imagine David being in this place as King David was carried along by the Holy Spirit. King David was the sweet psalmist of Israel, as he was indeed a prophet, as he was anointed of God. I also can look and we can see the imagery of Jesus in the temple as a young man asking the questions that just baffled all of the teachers there. A deep, deep wisdom that goes beyond earthly experience. And for each of us, as we embrace Scripture, we will indeed have a deep wisdom that goes beyond earthly experience. And God bless you with it. God bless you with it. Because this deep wisdom beyond earthly experience saves you from having to be taught by these earthly experiences, these pains and these sorrows and these miseries. And as I often pray for our young people, that they will be spared the earthly experiences that I have known, possibly that some of you have known, that have resulted in great scars. So, coming through this place of affection and this recognition of God's word and power and what it accomplishes, we move to our fourth move. That is, flee destructive paths, walking in God's law. Verse 101, the first half of it. "I have restrained my feet from every evil way." And evil, we can think of it as evil, as the culture generally thinks of it in some sense. If you say evil to the culture, they're going to picture Darth Vader or some other dark character from Star Wars, something like that. They're going to picture wicked images of skulls or whatever. They're going to think of bad guys in movies. It really isn't that as much as it is destructive ways. Ways contrary to God's word, ways contrary to His truth. If we look at our own lives and think of the destruction that's taken place in our own lives, we can think of those as evil ways. As we look at our own sins and the things that we have done and the pains that we've experienced, the destruction that's taken place in our lives because of our sins, we can rightly think of those as evil ways. Things that destroy our bodies, things that hinder our minds or destroy our minds, things that hinder our testimonies, evil ways. We can also look at the wicked things that other people have done, even simply unwise things on occasion that aren't in accordance with God's word, that harm people, destructive things. We see those as well as evil ways. So to flee evil ways is to flee destructive paths for the most part. To walk in God's law. I have restrained my feet from every evil way. I have that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. Now this idea here, we come to our fifth move, and this is come to a place of satisfaction, of joyful reflection and gratefulness. Verse 102, I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. This idea here of finding a joyful satisfaction in what God gives. As I look at my life, and even as I consider my eating patterns, it's as if I've been trained somehow to think that everything is supposed to taste like dessert. And my own affection for ketchup, as I look at ketchup and what's really in it, that the second ingredient is sugar in ketchup, that I would think that everything needs ketchup, and it's so that I can make it taste like a dessert, and imagine that that's what's good. Imagine that's what's best, or that is what I should have. We see that that's not the case in life. The things that always taste the best to us aren't really what's best. The things that we would enjoy the most in the moment aren't always what's best. We learn from Scripture, and as we embrace Scripture, and as we learn to walk in truth, and not to turn to the right, or not to turn to the left, we learn to find this joyful satisfaction, not necessarily primarily in the amusement park of life, but in the reality of life, the reality of what God says is good. If we consider that the Scripture teaches that true and undefiled religion is caring for orphans and widows in their distress, and then we come to the idea, would you rather go to an amusement park, or would you rather sit and care for a widow, or do yard work for a widow, or drive a widow to the hospital or to her doctor? Which is better? Or whatever aimless distraction that you prefer. You know, I'll let you fill in the blank there. Which is better? Which is better? Well, coming to the place of a joyful satisfaction and seeing what is truly best, seeing what is truly wonderful, and then finding our satisfaction in that. This brings us to our sixth move. Learn to come to Scripture as it is. Now, I'm not the only one who makes references to ice cream and Doritos or other delicious treats in the Bible. Here, God states Himself, "How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Now, this obviously doesn't mean that David is sitting around licking a scroll. But David is able to look at the truth on the page and know that it will bring more joy and more satisfaction, more nourishment, more strength. You may remember David's best friend out in the woods famished, and he comes across the honeycomb and he has some of the honey, and it enlightens his eyes. It strengthens, it brightens him. Here we see that it is God's word that accomplishes this for the believer. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So the psalmist, having meditated, having come to the place of satisfaction and joyful reflection, is able to truly enjoy the scripture as it is. In verse 104, this beautiful summary. From your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. So I challenge you. Look at your life and dig out the false ways. Look to see where you think something is sweeter than Scripture. Look to see where you turn to the right or to the left and hate it. Be the enemy of it. Smash it, pound it out. Suffocate it like an escaping campfire. And find your true satisfaction in God's Word. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the ways that you reveal yourself to us. Thank you for your great truth. God, instill in us a commitment to loving your Word, to seeing it as the lifeline that it is, and to see every false way as destructive to us, to our hearts, to our lives, to our households, to our church, and make us the enemy of every false way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We will now stand.